Hello and welcome to edition 226 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the beautifully summery Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich. In fact, we're on the river. Yeah, I think it's the yeah. Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the river, we are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the German Grand Prix. Oh, what a race it was, too. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on tonight's pod, we have self-confessed Team Lewis fangirl, Melissa Rowland.
Hello.
Norfolk's own Italian, Alessandro Essa Fumagalli. Alex to us.
Hi, good evening.
And making his debut, the F1 fan with the wizard beard, Phil Gray.
Hi, you all right?
Good. Thanks for coming on, Phil. What a pleasure.
Thanks. It's, you've talked me into it eventually.
I get there in the end. I did get there in the end. I'm glad I've sort of trimmed my beard, because I wouldn't want to have beard envy to what is a wonderful effort. How long has that been attached to your face?
About 4 years. Yeah, 4 years. It took me 2 years to get to this length, and it's staying.
There's combing.
Oh, lots of combing, shampooing, oiling. Yeah, I spend more time on my hair, on my beard hair, than when I had hair on top of my head, which I don't anymore.
That could have gone anywhere, that sentence. And he is bald, as he's just revealed under his cap. That's a San Francisco something or other.
Yeah, Giants.
Glad you know. That's really good. I'm glad I still haven't got my full beard. Mine was more sort of king-like. Yeah, you know, nice. Thick Game of Thrones beard. Yours is very wizardy.
Do you fancy it again?
I will at some point. I couldn't bear the look of my kids going, "Who are you?" when I shaved it off. So we might have to wait our time. Now, we'll get this out of the way straight away, Phil, because this is what we do with all our newbies. Four questions. They're not very taxing, don't worry, but at least they get things moving in the right direction. Now you are officially an NRF1 podder. So, first question. Your favourite of all time Formula One driver?
Nigel Mansell.
Happy?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, Melissa likes him.
He can stay.
So it's all uphill from here. Your favourite all-time Formula One team?
McLaren.
Everyone says McLaren. What a disappointment. they are now. Senna or Prost?
Senna.
And Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
Heikki Kovalainen.
Yes. I can hear Ped going, yes, thank you. Well done, Phil. You officially can stay, as Melissa rather prematurely stated earlier. Let's get stuck into it, shall we? Immediately, the German Grand Prix. We're in back-to-back races, of course. We'll talk about a little bit about Hungary and all sorts of the usual shenanigans, of course. But the German Grand Prix, what a treat. And for me, I feel, Melissa, whatever happens from here, a defining weekend in the season.
Yeah, bursting. So good. What have we got? Hungary next, and then it's break. And I think mentally... Physically, they obviously need to have a rest, but I think mentally, it's really set the tone. I think it's Lewis's to lose.
Is that because Seb managed to drive into a fence in the light rain?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their aftercare is kind of like. I don't know whether you guys know whether or not they kind of talk things through, or whether they're kind of like left to their own devices, or how much support they get. But Vettel's taken full responsibility, which I thought was really sweet. He didn't blame Roman Grosjean or anyone else. Ericsson. He took full responsibility, and I think that's half of the battle. So I think Seb's still got a lot to give, and I think he's not going to give it up easily. I think he should come back from it, hopefully. I don't believe what Nico Rosberg said. I don't agree with that. I don't think that...
What was that?
He said that it's quite a defining moment, that is just literally like handed it to Lewis on a plate, which I don't believe is the case whatsoever. I think that really did break... He thinks it really broke Vettel, and that was like doomed. But I don't think it is necessarily. It just goes to show... I had a feeling that something was going to happen, whether it was going to be a DNF because he was going to have a mechanical failure, or whether he was going to go and crash it, or someone's going to crash into him. It was just a feeling, but just goes to show how much it can just change.
You, Nico, that's what I normally say. Even in your punditry, you shouldn't have quit. I mean, what I guess we can get from now, basically, Alex, we're either going to get Seb going, oh God, that's ridiculous, and we're going to see it click, and he's going to boss it from here, or... He doesn't win the title, and everyone's going to think about that moment when he could have really extended his championship lead. And he, you know, it was a really small mistake. quite inexplicable as well. And his reaction on the radio immediately in the aftermath, I think, was almost touching, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was very disappointed with himself as well. You can clearly see as well the way he's meshing the wheel, bless it. Yeah, as she said, obviously, mentally is a break that can change a lot of things as well, I think. I was listening an interview as well with one of the Formula One guys. They were saying Ferrari just developed a way of recharging the turbo every single lap. They got this turbine inside, recharge the turbo, and they can deploy it every lap, which that can be a very important factor in the season. Surely, you know, Vettel will come back strong. He's not a loser. He's got a big mentality. He showed that on Red Bull when he won everything as well. On the other side of the end, you know, we see Mercedes having a lot of reliability problem, so that anything can happen still. Plus, we have Hungary, Belgium, Italy, very fast tracks. Ferrari's quite fast this year, so...
Said like a true Ferrari fan there. And we've got loads to talk about Ferrari, and we'll probably do most of it in the Patreon bonus podcast, depending on how time goes, Alex. But from a Lewis perspective, Phil, he almost couldn't believe it when he got out of the car, could he?
No, I think he was just overjoyed and couldn't believe it, like a lot of us. I mean, when Seb crashed out, I'm not going to lie, I did jump up and shout, yes, like Norris had just scored a goal. But I think at this point in the season, I think Ferrari have got the strongest overall package. And I think that's a really good sign for the rest of the season. You know, there's going to be lots of twists and turns in this championship, and it's not, you know, Lewis hasn't won it already, and you know, Seb's going to come back stronger. You know, it is a 17-point gap at the top at the moment, but that's still one win, and Lewis to have a bad, poor result, and it can soon switch around again.
I think as well, they've both, Sebastian and Lewis, have got really strong wingmen almost in Valtteri and in Kimi. I mean, as much as Kimi wears his heart on his sleeve and gets quite about stuff, which I just think is absolutely brilliant, he will do what he needs to do in order to get things done. And I think Valtteri has shown exactly that as well. And they'll do whatever it takes to get it across the line. But yeah, it's far from over. But I think you're absolutely right, Phil. I think that overall Ferrari have got the best package.
It is phenomenally poised for the rest of the season. You're right. I mean, it was interesting. It doesn't strike me that we'd normally say that any other team would have better, maybe more proactive team orders than Ferrari, but that is seemed to be what the case. I mean, Ferrari almost threw it away in a way by just leaving Kimi out in front of Seb, and also not seemingly being able to say to Kimi, yeah, can you just let him through, please? It was like, well, he's a bit quicker and you're on different strategies, yeah, and you know, well, obviously, you know, do you want to just ask me to get out of the way or what? Whereas, of course, Valtteri had one go at Lewis after safety car and went, yeah, don't do that again, please, Valtteri. I mean, normally it's Ferrari who are leading that way.
Yeah, let's start with the fact that I don't like team orders. I mean, they're racers, let them race, first of all. And then, as you said, yeah, Ferrari should have just told him straight away, just let him go. His rear tire is the one in top of the championship at the time, at the end of the day. So, same with Valtteri and, you know, and Lewis. Yes, they were racing. Yes, it was a good show, but they don't want something like Red Bull in Baku that crash into each other. Again, I don't like team orders, but I can understand why they've done it. But they should have done just straight. Let him pass, let him go, that's it.
I think the team orders thing with Mercedes was almost a byproduct of the little bit of confusion when Lewis almost went into the pits and then came out. It was a bit like the hokey pokey there. Kind of went in. I think had Lewis gone in, been on fresher tyres, Valtteri wouldn't have been able to have a go at him. Because we all know Mercedes isn't that great at following a car on a level power. As itself, so I think that just wouldn't have been. So I think the team might have thought, hang on, there's been a big error there, let's not have another Monaco situation where we've pulled Lewis in the pits a couple of years ago and lost it. Let's just, you know, keep it as it is, get two cars home, take control of the Constructors' Championship, which, as far as the team's concerned, is the most important thing in F1. They don't, you know, form the Drivers' Championships as a byproduct, but just don't let him race too hard, get both cars home, get the points.
And it was ideal timing, really, wasn't it? Because, of course, before the race, we found out that Valtteri signed for another year at Mercedes, and Lewis is on another long-term contract. I don't think they actually...
Both of them. Valtteri's got 1 year plus the opportunity, exactly, and Lewis is just 2020, definitely.
So, I mean, it's quite easy to say to Valtteri, yeah, don't do that again. And Valtteri's like, well, I've got my contract, yeah, no worries. It's fine. Yeah. I saw that. Was Lewis a little bit lucky to get away with the pit stop? Because he did have to see the stewards after. They've kind of said, yeah, you can't go in after the bollard, but no one seemed to have contemplated what would happen if someone went in the right side of the bollard and then was like, oh, whoops, that's a mistake, and then cut out the other side.
Yeah, I read the stewards' report afterwards, and they said that they put their hands up and said, look, we know that we fucked up, basically. And it's just like they were completely transparent with the fact that there was complete miscommunication. But I think what really salvaged it was there was no one around him and he wasn't compromising any positions or putting anyone else at risk. But there was some that said, wasn't it Kimmy, I think a couple of, was it 2016, I think he had exactly the same thing, and I think a few threw their toys out of the pram and said, look, it wasn't very consistent. I don't know, it's a funny one. I think it was probably the right decision, but then again, of course I'm going to say that, aren't I?
Team Lewis fan. He talks to you directly through the meme medium of Instagram. And of course, we haven't even mentioned the fact of what a disastrous qualifying he had. And, you know, to win the race from 14th, I mean, he's put in two phenomenal drives, really.
42 laps on one set of tyres. Man, yeah.
Fair play, Lewis. Love finds a way. I think that was one of his quotes. At least he's found Nelson Mandela, so that was good, yeah. There we go. God love Lewis. Okay, so I'm going to go around very quickly now. Who's going to win the championship as you see it now?
Lewis.
Vettel.
Hamilton.
I think Hamilton too. Although, come on, Valtteri. Yeah, I think we're in a two-horse race.
Are you seriously talking to Danny Rick about, oh, do you think you're still in for the title this year before the race? And which I thought, it's really odd because he's had, you know, he's ultimately, you know, you could say he's the number two driver at Red Bull at the moment, really. Yeah, he is. Max is better. Max is the better driver.
He's one for the future. Yes,
definitely.
One for now, apparently.
Yeah.
I can assure you, as a journalist, they'll have just wanted Danny to rule out his Premier title chances.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, why not ask the question?
If I don't win this race in the next one, then, yeah, I'm out of it. So, yeah, he's out of
he's
it.
He's out of it, yeah.
He'll be out of Red Bull at the end of the year as well.
He's rapidly running out of seats. Well, tell you what, let's get on to that in a bit, shall we? Have a quick reminder. Best places to interact with us on social media, and you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three at the NRF1. I'm sure you'll be able to find us. Drop us an email if you wish, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and of course our website, nrf1.uk. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops.
I always do that, but I know you've got a thing.
Well, that's okay, because I've just put that in after the thing. I don't know if it came through on the mic. Let's hope it did. Thank you,
just
Melissa.
And you've got a thing.
Yeah.
You can go in.
Yeah, that's it. Not that thing. So, where would you like? Which team would you like to talk about? Because I haven't managed much preparation tonight. Oh. So, a team you'd like to talk about?
Renault. Yes.
What would you like to say about Renault and their race?
Good shout, man.
Complete two different cars in just one race. Hulkenberg new front wing, and he showed a difference. Sainz completely screwed up. He still had the old front wing, and as you can see, the difference, you know, just very big.
But didn't Sainz get to Q3 and Hulk's didn't?
It didn't, yeah, but the difference was in it was aerodynamics changed completely, your front wing. It made a massive difference, as you can see, from the positions 5th to 12th, you know, it's a big difference, and I think
We probably will see some of the teams who have got the budget and the time and the resource, they will start to make a big difference, won't they, between the other ones?
Yeah, they will, yeah. You'll definitely see a lot more development the second half of the season than we have so far. I mean, I think Ferrari have been a key developer throughout the early stages of the season, but teams like Renault, they've got money to put into it, and they'll come on leaps and bounds and take control of that midfield battle.
Going to say, I think Force India kind of crept in quite nicely out of nowhere, really. They just quietly got on with it, I think, all race. Ocon was having a bit of a mare, but they pulled it back together, and I mean, 7th and 8th isn't bad at all, really, all things considering. They've not been amazing this season at all.
No, not at all. And they have been doing so well the last few years in terms of punching above their weight. And of course, I think Kyle Cumbers mentioned on our WhatsApp group, as has been discussed in the last day or two, that Lance Stroll's dad fancies buying the team.
Yeah,
Force India, this is.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of big news in the world of Formula One to have another a rebrand on the Force India team. Obviously, then that moves Lance Stroll from Williams to Force India, you'd assume.
I just don't like his attitude at the minute. I just don't like the way that when he's interviewed, it's like, yeah, just didn't get the performance out of the car. I'm just like, you're really annoying because you've got so much potential. You're not like Max Verstappen, you're not like Leclerc at all, because you've just got a really bad attitude. So it sucks.
Spoiled kid.
He is. I'm sorry, but
well,
he is.
He is, literally. And his dad's loaded, so yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to see ever.
Oh, Melissa's just cut him off. Cut Formula One out.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really for the rest of the season, if he thinks his dad's going to be buying another team, he's not really going to be too worried about what's happening at Williams. And you know, why don't Williams just switch him out for someone who actually does care about them? You know, they're one of the all-time great teams.
Danny, I want a team.
He was talked about so highly last season, was doing really well. He was doing great, and he had moments of genius. But I don't know what it is. But it's just like, I don't know what his problem is at the moment, but it's just irritating me.
Melissa is not having it.
I'm not happy. Yeah.
You're not having it.
Lance, sort it out, hon.
The walking weapon, blunted by Melissa. Let's have a little talk about Red Bull, shall we? Because we haven't mentioned them, and clearly, you know, they're quite near the top. And, I mean, they had a funny old weekend of it. Danny Rick had a tough time. Engine failure, wasn't it? I think they decided, which could be a difficult one for Hungary, which is, of course, back-to-back race weekends. And also Max. I mean, Max tried a gamble that... Well, yeah, that's one way of putting it. Melissa fucked his strategy up. You know, he went for a gamble... Had to backtrack, and then the rain came afterwards, didn't he? But it's sort of really unfortunate in terms of how it all panned out, Alex.
Yeah, the problem with Ricardo, or Ricciardo, as we say in Italy, is...
thank you. Is it not? Yes.
He is 100%.
Ricciardo,
yes.
He's
that's
Australian.
The way.
Australian.
Exactly. It's not our fault that the Australian kids can pronounce his name, right? This is why, for 3 or 4 years, I can't remember how long, we've fished for the right pronunciation. Anyway, sorry, Alex.
I was going to say, yeah, basically, he had, yes, a power loss. That's, again, reliability in Red Bull. This season seems to be, like, their loss of championship, I believe. Same as the last time I was here. Again, I already say, Red Bull lost the championship with reliability problems. They're still third, so not bad results. But, again, we have Renault for Singhas just straight behind, and if they keep having problems, they can get them easy, I think, as well. There's still quite a few races left. And yeah, Max doing his classic race, pushing, and be happy as well.
He's pretty decent, even when it doesn't go that well, except when he drives into people. But, well, you know, he's growing. He's getting there.
Getting experience.
The Red Bull number one driver. Okay, well, there'll be much more pit stops and chat about the 2018 German Grand Prix talking points in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com/NRF1, patreon.com/NRF1, right after this podcast. Now, I like this bit. It's our of the weekend's time. Hope you've been thinking about these. Yeah. We might have addressed some of these issues. We might not. Our Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. I mean, are we just going to give it to Lewis, or was there someone else who you'd like to give it to?
Yeah, Lance Stroll.
Only when he quits.
He's such a good guy. No, Lewis Hamilton for me.
Lewis, yeah.
I mean, Lewis had all the luck. I mean, there's... a few other good drives a little bit further back the field. Brendan Hartley got a point.
Yes, one of the first things you said when I saw you tonight.
Second point of the season, and for a guy in a team who's that, you know, they're not the greatest team, Toro Rosso. You know, they got a Honda engine to prove that they can actually get round a track, which is, you know, well done. But great for him to get a point. I don't think he'll have a seat next year, but I'm pleased that he got a point. And yeah, I think he can have my driver of the day on that.
Nico Hülkenberg. I did well for my predictions. Like,
did you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Let's not talk about the prediction league. I'm in arrears and in bad credit. Marcus Ericsson finishing in the points. Why didn't Charles Leclerc finish again? Can anyone remember?
No.
No? Well, let's just say Marcus Ericsson outstripped him.
What a fantastic spin, though. Have you seen it? Crazy. Spin. Yeah. It was a 360 spin. Have you not seen it?
No, when's this?
Really? Have you missed it?
Yeah, probably.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was like it was meant to be.
When was this?
So good.
It was kind of nearly the end of the race. You started to rain, and then it completely 360 and just went straight there again.
If you're going to spin, you might as well do it all the way around so you're facing in the right way. Full carriage direct rail services for you, Rich, there. Now this is going to find the spin. How about our team of the weekend? Who gets that shout?
For me, you've got to give it to Mercedes, because in quali, you look like Ferrari, and in practice, Ferrari are like, oh, so good. And then Mercedes pulled it out. Thanks, but Sebastian obviously helped with that. But I think Silver Arrows, but...
give it to the team in red, Ferrari, because over the course of the weekend they did do the best job. It was just one tiny error in the wet that ruined their race. You can't, but they done the best job over the course of the weekend. They really did, but I think Ferrari.
I'm between Ferrari and Mercedes. Mercedes did 1-2, so it was very good. But again, Ferrari kind of dominates the weekend. Yeah, Vettel, as you said, went out, but at the same time, if that mistake wasn't happening, then he was there to win it.
So. What about you, Michael?
What about me? Yeah, I don't really like this award. I'm going off it a bit. But without going really deep into it, probably Mercedes. Although they almost b***ed it up with Valtteri and then got away with it.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting one. A Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. I mean, again, should we just give it to Seb? Because pretty... however you want to dress up what happens next in terms of what he did. Oh, dear.
Seb didn't hit anyone else, so is it a full man Maldonado?
He went full Maldonado. I think he probably did.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's got to be Seb, innit?
Can I just put Toro Rosso to put full wet into Gasly?
Yes. Yeah, that was genius. Yeah, then that's it.
The bit where he couldn't get down the pit lane at like 50 miles an hour because the tyres were shot in full wets when it was. Yeah, I mean that's a. There are gambles, and then there's just that. Yeah. Whatever that was. Good shout.
And there's lols. Yeah, lols.
It was lol. Gaz lol. There you go, Gaz lol. I would also give it, having praised Marcus Ericsson for finishing ninth, I would quite happily give him Pastor of the weekend as well for taking a spin in the gravel trap and then just driving all the gravel all over one of the turns. I can't remember which one, it was turn 12 or something like that, wasn't it? So that they had to red flag the whole session just as Max was completing his potentially fastest lap. Well done, Marcus. Norfolk's own. He learned that one at Spooner Row. And finally, our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. Oh, that has to be Seb driving into a wall. There is no other competition. Very easy this week, like that. And then finally, for Germany, our race rating. It's out of 11. Azerbaijan is still topping the pile. Silverstone did very well. And to me, it's a question of was this... I haven't actually worked out. But it was sort of nines. It was pretty high. Higher than some felt, but I thought it was a really good race. I think this was just as good. I don't know if I could pick this and Hockenheim and Silverstone apart. So out of 11, what do you want to give it, Melissa?
9.
10.
Oh! 9.5.
9.5! Well, 9.2. I'm pretty sure that's what I gave Silverstone. So yeah. I'm going to... Actually, it might have been slightly better. I can't call it less. Generally, it will be better. 9.2. No. What a race. More of that at Hungary.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So, round 12. Coming up next then, Hungary, Hungaroring. For those who are regular listeners to the NRF1 podcast, you'll know that this is the circuit, which is the camel on a surfboard. Have you seen that, Phil, before?
No.
Brilliant. Can someone, Alex, have you seen this before?
No.
Can you get a picture? We do this every year. Just get a picture of the Hungaroring, circuit map of Hungaroring, and I'll open your eyes to the fact that it is very much a camel on a skateboard. I'll wait. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Phil? Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camel looking up on a surfboard.
Stiffing. Yeah.
That way. Yeah, there was a very old podcast that you used to do videos on. I remember that.
Alex knows because Alex listened to every podcast before he came on. Did you do that, Phil?
No.
Nor should you. Okay, so Lewis Hamilton's got a pretty good record around this track generally, but it's thrown up a few interesting results, hasn't it, in the last few years? Are we fans of the Hungaroring? It's a bit of a go-kart track,
yes,
as well, isn't it?
It's a camel on a surfboard. Who's not?
What did you want? I'm just trying to work out what corner Grosjean's going to go off at.
Which is most likely.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of trying to see
the... on the calendar regularly is... It's a fan favourite, isn't it? Would you say?
Generally.
Not good enough.
Generally.
That's just Monaco. That's all I got.
let's answer this one now. Who's it the most important weekend for? This Hungarian Grand Prix. Don't forget, we've got the four-week summer break after this as well. It's back-to-back with Germany, so it's a very quick turnaround.
Is it really generalised to say probably everyone? Because maybe... teams are going to go away and take stock of everything that's kind of like going on. It's a good bit of respite just to see kind of like what's where and probably get things ready for next season. I think everyone's got to do well, but really, if I'm going to be really boring, it's important for Ferrari and Mercedes and the championship battle.
I love that. It's important for Formula One. I love that. Most important weekend for Formula One. Well done, Melissa. I like it.
Yeah, that's about as good as I get, guys. But, you know, people are, they are, I know they're proving themselves all through it to say, look, I want my seat for next season. But I do think it's always important.
It's a key tricky weekend, and as you said, there's a lot of time after it for people to think about things, and that's always dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a real big weekend for Danny Rick. He's one of the top drivers who hasn't got a confirmed seat for next year yet. There's rumours that Ferrari are going to announce Kimi for next year ahead of the next race, which is...
What an about turn that is.
Yeah, massive about turn, but obviously Ferrari have got their issues in the background that are going on, so they're just steadying the ship there. But then that leaves, where does Danny Rick go? Because, you know, he's obviously got a contract offer from Red Bull, but does he want to be a number two driver? I don't think he does.
Who's in the contention for Red Bull? I don't know whether they've been under a rock or what's the
plan.
They've
looked at their junior programme, and obviously you've got the Toro Rosso drivers, but no... really.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Can you imagine Brendan Hartley in a Red Bull as well as he did Phil, but yeah.
They could always go back for Carlos Sainz.
Yes, the child of the Renault Red Bull divorce. Kyle's quote there, what a beauty that is. Alex, most important weekend for?
I think both Ferrari and Mercedes got a point to prove to stay ahead of championship, both constructor and drivers. Ferrari want to go back, and they probably want to show it as well, especially for Vettel. Bless him.
He's still banging that steering wheel. You can tell it's crucial in terms of the championship when that is heading the most important lists off. So, predictions and Fantasy League. Fantasy League, will go through our Fantasy League team on the Patreon podcast, so keep an eye out for that. I mean, we'll probably reinstate Roman this week.
Yes.
He did finish your race. We didn't even mention it until now. Look. But let's talk about predictions. Phil, this is your first time on the podcast, so this is exciting. In this podcast, we'll just make one each, and then we'll make our remaining three, four, two, whichever, in the Patreon podcast. So just a little sampler, something that's going to happen around the Hungarian Grand Prix weekend that is quantifiable and not ridiculously definite.
Okay. Danny Rick to qualify above Max.
Love it.
That's it. Yeah.
We'll take that one and file it away for the other podcast. Alex?
The Italian anthem is going to play again. So Ferrari.
Oh.
Top.
Yes.
No, who, but Ferrari probably, I would say.
Ferrari wins.
He's a fast truck, so yeah.
Oh, he said that was so steely determined. It's like Ferrari. Carrying the hopes, Alex, of Ferrari.
I'm going to go for, as carrying on from one of my predictions that I did this time round, and no longer mugging off Lance Stroll, because I don't know how people feel about that, but I'm going to say both Williams into Q2.
How? Really? How?
One of them.
Is everyone else going to, like, capit...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go for.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Melissa. You get a kudos point. Kudos points out of that one, definitely. My shout, Danny Rick, podium.
Ooh.
Boom. Boom. He quite likes it around here.
That's
boom.
That.
That's what I'm saying.
I really want to stop that from going into there. Should I just put my
Just save my iPad. Thanks, Melissa. We'll take a picture of that later.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, worse. You made it in worse. Oh, and on that note, we're done for tonight before the iPad capitulates. Remember, if you want to hear more from us about the Hockenheim action or our predictions, more talk about the Hungarian Grand Prix, and of course everything in between in the Formula One world, including the Formula One calendar we're going to talk about, and I reckon we should talk a bit more about what's going on behind the scenes at Ferrari as well, all that extra stuff. Check out patreon.com/nrf1 for our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast. We will return with our Hungary review as we break for the summer. Woof. And of course, we'll also have another Patreon edition. That'll be shortly after round 12 of the 2018 Formula One World Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and of course the Rush Cutters as always. And it's goodbye from the crew, from Phil. Good debut.
Bye. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, good fun.
Brilliant having you on. Alex, goodbye.
Ciao.
And goodbye, Melissa.
Bye, Hans.
And bye from me. A very good night to you all. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We will see you on the other side of the camel on a skateboard.
So good.
I know, I was just going to correct it. Now I can't. Bye.